Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest David Byrne first became known as the co-founder, lead singer, and primary songwriter of Talking Heads, a band that started out as part of the New York new wave scene of the 70s. They later expanded their sound with African and funk influences, and Byrne went off to do his own projects. He worked with producer Brian Eno, composed music for the Twyla Tharp Dance Company, and directed the film True Stories. Eventually, Talking Heads broke up, and Byrne became infatuated with Latin music. He started his own record label, on which he's released anthologies of contemporary South and Central American music, as well as his own Latin-inspired music. But his latest album, Uh-Oh, returns more to the style he developed with Talking Heads. He's on tour now, performing both his old and new songs. Before we meet him, let's hear Girls on My Mind from his latest album. David Byrne, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Your latest record, Uh-Oh, in a way returns to your Talking Heads style of songwriting and of singing. And I'm wondering, like, what prompted that return?
I think it was unconscious. I don't think it was intentional. I think with this separation of the band, in retrospect, it seems that I had to kind of make a clean break and wipe the slate clean and not do anything that in any way had any similarity to what I'd done with Talking Heads. Although it was natural for me to do music that sounded a little bit like that, I think unconsciously I just stayed away from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, when Talking Heads started, I thought of your music then as being very pared down instrumentally, vocally, even visually, and that the band would, like, wear T-shirts on stage. And I'm wondering how much impact the music of other cultures had on you in your sense of stage presence, you know, theatrical presence, both in the way that you dress and even in the sense of, like, arrangements and how big they should be. And what the difference is finally to you between slick and show busy and just, like, good theatrical?
It seems to me that when a lot of people start out, whether it's a choreographer, a musician, or theater, or whatever, that you often start out by throwing out everything from the past, and you pare things down to just the essentials, to what you feel comfortable with. And gradually, it seems that you can, there's more and more that you feel comfortable with, that you understand about performing and about the stage and musical ideas. And so you can kind of include more and more elements in what you do. I guess the danger with starting out having a lot of, you know, having a lot of music, a lot of sounds, a lot of instruments, or a lot of stage things going on is that it's overwhelming in the beginning. It's too early to have formed an attitude or an approach about it. And so a lot of times if you do it too early, you end up doing things that you've seen other people do. You end up imitating other performers and not making it your own. And I guess if you gradually add little things over the years, it can happen in a kind of organic way where those elements become your own.
Yeah, because I think early on your attitude was very kind of anti-showbiz in every way.
Uh-huh. I think, for me, when Talking Heads first started touring, after a few years of touring, I saw lots of different kinds of theatrical practice, whether it was music shows or kabuki theater or whatever. And eventually I came to accept that, it seems really obvious, but I came to accept that the stage is a really artificial place to be. No matter how much I might kind of strip down and kind of want to show my real self or just be an ordinary guy or whatever, it's impossible because the stage is not a place where anybody can be ordinary, or the idea of having realism on a stage is kind of bogus, because as soon as you put something on stage, it's not real anymore. It's about artifice. And so I kind of at some point accepted that that artifice is part of what goes on stage, whether it's music or theater or whatever. And it just depends on how you want to use it.
If you're just joining us, my guest is David Byrne, and his latest album is called Uh-Oh, and he's now on an American tour. You've been criticized by some people for your explorations into the musics of other cultures, criticized for being something of a dilettante and for not, you know, because you haven't studied these musics all your life, so when you go in, you don't completely understand the culture and the history and so on. How do you react to those criticisms?
I would say that some of the best music in the world is made by people who hear something and they don't know exactly what it is and they don't know exactly where it comes from, and they kind of incorporate it into what they do. And that includes Africans who incorporate a lot of rock and roll and Cuban music and R&B, and Americans who incorporated a lot of African music over the years. You can kind of go all over the world and find any kind of, just about any kind of music, and somewhere in there there's an example of it absorbing other traditions into it. It just seems like that's the way music evolves.
Let me play something from your recent album, Ray Momo, and I thought we'd hear Independence Day. Would you like to say something about the song?
What could I say about it? The rhythm is a cumbia, which is popular in Colombia and a lot of Mexico. They play it slightly different in Mexico. There's even a version of a cumbia played in Texas in the southwest of the U.S., which is also quite different, but I'm sure there's a connection somewhere.
Okay, well, let's hear Independence Day from David Byrne's album, Ray Momo.
Now and then I get horny, at night you do, at night you do, smile from side to side, at night you do, at night you do. She'll be coming round the mountain, six white horses by her side, no stops for gas, food or lodging. She's wearing nothing but a smile. Though we struggle for our freedom, our need for others still remains. We know what will make us happy. We know what will ease our pain.
That's David Byrne from his album, Ray Momo. David Byrne is my guest, and he's on an American tour. You were born in Scotland and moved to the States, I believe, when you were in second grade. Why did your family decide to move here?
It was work. The shipyards were all closing down in Scotland, and in other areas there was very, very little work. So the American companies, in this case Westinghouse, were offering trained people in Europe. I think it was they'd pay for the passage of that person and their family if they promised to work for them for a number of years. It's kind of like indentured servants. It was also known as, I guess, the brain drain, because they were getting a lot of trained people out of Europe to run, and not run, but work in American factories. This was in the 50s.
So your father was an engineer with the company?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And when you moved here, did you have an accent? Were you self-conscious about being from a different country?
Yeah, I think I must have been, because I would have been in elementary school, and very shortly, I lost my accent because the other kids couldn't understand me. And I probably did it to fit in. So, I mean, at that age, it's real important to fit in.
Yeah, so you didn't like being different then?
Nuh-uh. I wanted to be like everybody else.
A big change from who you became, right? When you started playing, you played guitar and also ukulele. Were you playing folk music on the ukulele?
No, I was playing rock and roll, and I was playing. Oh, and sometimes I would play standards, old standards, "Pennies from Heaven," stuff like that.
Uh huh. How did you take up ukulele? It was a very uncommon instrument outside of a handful of people in the folk revival.
Yep. I don't know. It was easy to carry around. I thought it sounded great too. It was easy to carry around. It sounds nice. It's not taken very seriously, but it has kind of a nice sound to it.
Do you play it anymore?
No, I left it in a car trunk that got, or in the back, you know, in the back ledge of a car, and it got overheated and the whole thing bent into some weird shape.
You could have bought another one.
Yeah, I could have, but I haven't.
Right. So why did you first take up music?
Everybody was doing it then.
Yeah, everybody had a guitar.
Yeah, everybody had a guitar or drums or something. Everybody was being in a band. So I thought, I'll do that.
Did you teach yourself?
Yeah, you know, got, you know, those instruction books.
And the method books?
Yeah, the method books.
Which one did you have?
It was called Mel Bay.
Mel Bay, okay.
Yeah.
what were the songs in that book?
Oh, you know, I don't remember.
You went to art school. What had you, you know, painted or drawn when you were younger?
Yeah, you know, I doodled around when I was in high school, and went to look at, you know, colleges, and the graffiti in the art school was much better than the graffiti at the regular college. So I opted for the art school. Looked like people were having fun.
So why did you drop out after a couple of years?
I was kind of doing stuff on my own. I felt like I didn't need the school environment to push me to do stuff, whether it was music or art or whatever. And I could tell that a degree in fine arts wasn't going to get me a job anywhere. It would only qualify me to teach fine arts in an art school or someplace else, which I didn't want to do. So I thought, well, you know, we'll save some money and I'll just keep doing the stuff on my own, which was okay, except after about a year or so, the only jobs I could get was washing dishes in diners and, you know, being a short order cook and stuff like that, working as a janitor, things that weren't looked on very highly, let's say. And so I kind of reapplied. I thought, I got to finish college no matter what. Maybe then I can get a slightly better job.
Did you go back?
I tried, and they said no. I mean, I showed the work I'd been doing in the meantime, and they said, no, you should just go to New York and have a go of it.
So is that what you did?
Yeah, that's what I did.
David Byrne is my guest. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is David Byrne. What's the story of how you first hooked up with Tina Weymouth and Chris Franz to join Talking Heads? I mean, to form Talking Heads.
I'd been in a band with Chris when he was at Stone Art School, and I was kind of just hanging around the community. And then at some point we had sort of said, well, let's meet up again in New York. So when they graduated from school and they came to New York and, you know, I'd been writing these songs and stuff, so it was kind of like, I think it was Chris who said, well, let's get a band together and do this stuff. There's a couple of places we could play, one of which was CBGB's, which was a place where bands could actually play their own material. And there wasn't the usual demand that you had to do that week's top 20 or whatever. So there was a forum for bands doing their own stuff to play in. So it kind of was an incentive to kind of put it together and try it out. And that was kind of what Chris proposed, that we said, kind of, let's try it out. We'll never know if it works if we don't try it.
Let me play something from the first Talking Heads album, Talking Heads 77. And I really love this record, and I think every time I play it, it really holds up. There's nothing that sounds dated about it. I thought I would play Baby It's You, or Who Is It? It's called.
That's a short one, yeah.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you know, I think of Talking Heads in the early days as having had a really pared-down style, and I think this song really...
It sure is pared down,
yeah. It's really catchy. I really love this song. It's almost kind of like the semiotics of rock lyrics, too, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just like, baby, it's you.
Yep, that's about it, too.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything about writing this?
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. I thought, well, I'll pare a song down to really just... Just bare essentials, kind of no verse, no chorus, just with three words or whatever, and there you go.
Let's hear it. Who is it?
What is it? Oh, baby, it's you.
That's the Talking Heads from their first album. My guest is David Byrne, who's currently on tour and has a recent album called Uh-Oh.
I remembered something else about when I started writing songs that ended up being, a lot of them being Talking Heads songs.
Uh-huh.
Was that I had a feeling about the lyrics of rock and roll songs. I had a feeling that there was this kind of ongoing tradition of kind of stylized lyrics, whether it meant people pretending they were black and from the South or whatever. There was this whole kind of genre or style of writing lyrics for rock and roll songs. And I just thought, I'm going to throw all that out and try and write in a just real straightforward style and use language that is... not song language. That's more either kind of. It's more like written language or spoken language, but it's not the kind of accepted song language. I'm going to see if that works. I think some of it worked. Some of it didn't, but I think some of it worked.
Earlier, you said that when you started performing, you really didn't think of yourself as a singer, but as someone who had an impassioned style singing interesting songs. When you formed Talking Heads, you were the lead singer of the band. Were you self-conscious about being the lead singer?
I think only now am I beginning to get comfortable on stage in front of an audience. Although I love doing it, and it's obviously real cathartic for me. I think in the beginning it looked like, you know, I'd been shoved out there. I was going through some kind of torture. I've seen videotapes. I looked totally traumatized. Like I'm in some kind of shock on stage.
Why did Talking Heads eventually split apart?
I think, well, I'm not sure. I think the seeds of a kind of the disillusion of a band are kind of planted the minute a band begins to have some success. It's as if that the thing that makes it grow and succeed is also the thing that's going to eventually kill it. And I think that's the as you succeed, as we kind of survived anyway, we found that we each needed our own space. We each developed our own friends. And part of that was just out of necessity. We'd been hanging around each other so much that if we kept hanging in such close quarters, we would have been killing one another. So out of necessity, we gradually kind of drifted apart a little bit. And so for a number of years, I guess, we kind of maintained a balance of keeping our own lives separate from the band and then coming together and making music. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I guess, it just gets to be more than, at least from my point of view, more than makes sense. It becomes more like a business than it started out being. So that eventually just you drift apart further and further until it gets to a point where you start wondering, why are we working together? Who are these people? I hardly know this person anymore. That kind of thing, which is, it's sad, but it seems like it's natural too.
Do you think you'd ever work together again?
It's possible, but we certainly don't have any plans to.
You know what you said about how often what's most responsible for a band's success is also what kills it. Do you worry about that yourself as a solo performer, that the things that bring you success are also the things that can stunt your growth?
Oh, exactly, yeah. I mean, too much success in one thing, you're all of a sudden you're trapped. All of a sudden it's like, that's what you're known for, people are going to expect you to do that again, or if you don't do it again, they're going to be disappointed, and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
So how have you tried to work around that?
Tried to avoid success, yeah. I don't know. Just being aware of it, I guess, is enough.
Okay, well, David Byrne, thank you a lot for talking with us.
Okay.
David Byrne's latest album, Uh-Oh, is on his label Luwaka Bop. He's on tour now, performing tonight in Pittsburgh. Then it's on to Cleveland, Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Denver, Berkeley, Los Angeles, and San Diego. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.